customers come first at Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus.
What other kind of customers do you have?
So our biggest customers are actually like ranchers and people from outside of the Tucson area. They're buying a lot of square tubing. They're buying a lot of stuff for their ranch to close off fences.
We'll sell anything from 10 feet to 10,000 feet to somebody that comes in because we have new steel and surplus steel from steel mills. The reason we're able to get such good pricing on some of this stuff is A, we sell scrap to the mill. So we have a relationship there, and then we can buy material what they're making, bringing it back. And so we save on freight, and we have relationships for years with them. So I think that's really our niche market. We'll sell whatever you need.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard, 701 East 36th Street. Open Monday through Saturday.
Welcome to Inside Track. Santa Aurelia LLC is solely responsible for its content. The views and opinions expressed on Inside Track are those of the host and guests, and not necessarily endorsed by KVOI or its advertisers, but they should be. And now, here's Bruce Ash.
Hello, Insiders, and a very pleasant good afternoon to you, wherever you may be. This is your host, Bruce Ash, going solo again today, welcoming you to a special 2020 monsoon edition of Inside Track. Ebb's still on assignment. After the break, I'll speak with Republican House member Anthony Curran from LD20 about his campaign to return to the legislature and how his election, crucial to keeping Republican control of the legislature, is in danger from Black Lives Matter. This is pretty scary stuff. After the break, we'll turn attention to Julie Kelly, the best-selling author of her book, Disloyal Opposition: How the Right Tried and Failed to Take Down the President. Julie's a political consultant, senior contributor to American Greatness and The Federalist. Her book has been described by Inside Track guest Victor Davis Hanson as a bombshell. We'll finish up today with a quick visit from Eric Sloan, who's running for the Corporation Commission. As always, thank you so much for supporting our great Inside Track sponsors, Jamie and Gary Kipper from Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus, Gary Imus and my co-host Ebb Wilkinson with Imus Wilkinson Asset Management, plus the kids from Corazon Cabinets, Joy, Allie, and David. These are great local companies you should do business with. Do you have a home improvement project you want to start this summer but are worried if you can afford the luxury you deserve? Corazon Cabinet sells quality J&K, Conestoga, Yorktown, and Waypoint Cabinets. Plus, they offer professional design services for your home. Call Corazon Cabinets at 488-2266 and schedule a visit to the showroom. It's an easy number, 488-2266. Tell Joy, Allie, or David you heard this ad with Bruce on Inside Track and get an additional 5% discount on their already low wholesale prices. You know, we're relieved the 2020 monsoon is finally here, and I'm especially relieved that Major League Baseball has finally arrived. My team, the Los Angeles Dodgers, have what could be a crew very well suited for the shortened 60-game schedule. And they just signed Mookie Betts to a 12-year contract. Your guess is as good as mine which team is going to win it all this season or if the season will be completed at all. Even though we can't watch the games in person, we'll have plenty of opportunity to listen to the games again on the radio or watch them on TV. No one knows for sure what's going to happen with college sports at this time, with several conferences announcing they've either canceled their seasons or will shift to spring 2021 for football and basketball. High school sports and even are even more problematic at this time. The virus has screwed up the lives of hundreds of thousands of athletes in high school and college, to say nothing how a year's lapse might impact. But this is nothing compared to the potential delays in opening schools for kids here in Tucson and across the country. The lives of 6 to 18-year-olds will be stunted by a delay in their education. Dr. Scott Atlas from the Hoover Institute said earlier this week, there are zero excuses to keep children from returning to schools in the fall. He wrote, there is virtually zero risk for children getting something serious or dying from the disease. Anyone who thinks the school should be closed is not talking about the children. It has nothing to do with children's risk. There's no rational reason or science to say that children transmit the disease significantly. Dr. Atlas pointed out that many American teachers are not in high-risk age groups and therefore should not be concerned. He also noted that those who are nervous or high risk can take extra precautions. Atlas believes long-distance learning has been a failure. Atlas also added that many other Western countries have opened up and operated schools during the pandemic successfully, and why can't we? We're the only country not opening schools. This is absurd, he said. Look at the science. I'm saying use critical thinking and logic. The biggest problem of all, yet again, we are going to commit some severe public policy without regards to the harm of public policy. Atlas has written, if we start acting out of fear and are an outlier in this country, the country is finished. You either believe in the science or not, he added. You can't insist you believe in the science and then act contrary to the science. Now here's my prediction. The left will declare the virus is over on November 4th if their marionette candidate, Joe Biden, is successful in the election, because that was the ultimate reason for the virus in the first place. Neither the Chi-Coms or Black Lives Matter Democrat Socialists had any chance of beating Donald Trump and all of us in 2020 until the virus became their vaccine for getting rid of the Orange Man, because they all know the Orange Man is bad. Look at their answer to the virus. Joe freaking Biden. A man who's never held a real job, never signed the front of a paycheck. After he handled corn pop by the swimming pool he worked at in college, he has hung around in Washington, D.C., pointing out what is wrong with the other guys, but achieving very little. He has not licked poverty, despite spending about 3/4 of our total national debt on welfare and one failed social program after another. After 5 decades, he hasn't licked the crime problem either. In fact, his policies have arguably made the streets as dangerous as they are today. He wants to defund law enforcement, and what he has had to say about the rise of lawless rioters and murders roaming the cities, absolutely not a damn thing. While he's quick to support Black Lives Matter, when thousands of black and brown lives are lost to murder by each other, not the police he despises, he also has nothing to offer. He's an empty suit, bereft of conscience and beholden to those who might finally help him achieve the goal he's aspired to since before my children and probably yours were born 40 years ago. Creepy Joe, Slow Joe, Plugs, whatever you want to call Joe Biden, he would be a president in name only. He will gladly answer the bell when leftists, big tech, the CCP, and Jim Clyburn come along, because he owes them all. If you think 2020 has been bizarre, wait to see what a Biden presidency looks like. Kiss your job goodbye to the Chi-Coms. Kiss your pocketbook goodbye to higher taxes. For crying out loud, who runs on a platform of higher taxes? Say farewell to the Constitution and our Republic, because he means to finish the destruction his old boss started and his friend Hillary could not accomplish when she lost to Donald Trump in 2016. Only you, me, and President Trump stand between freedom and the disorder and chaos, which is Joe Biden. Our guest for the next few minutes is Arizona House Member Anthony Curran, representing the west side of Greater Phoenix, including Glendale. Hey, Anthony, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you for having me.
Anthony's done a great job representing his district and really all of Arizona. When you need a bulldog to get something done, you call Anthony because he gets things done in the Arizona legislature. We've talked about this before. When Anthony was with us, Anthony was our go-to guy to help us with the 2020 presidential delegate selection process when significant changes had to be made. But he's had a great deal of success going back to when he first entered the legislature in 2015. I like him because he speaks plainly. He's a cause conservative. He's pro-Second Amendment, pro-life, pro-working man, pro-lower taxes and deregulation. Anthony, I need to ask you a question because this interview is all about money. How much did you spend on your previous elections to run for the state house?
A great question, Bruce. You know, it's crazy out there. In the past three election cycles, I probably have spent no more than $50,000 total for the entire campaign. And right now it's crazy out there. As you probably are aware, the Democrat opponent who's never been in a race before, her first time, the Democrat opponent who does not have a voting record, she does not have a network out there of donors. She has raised in 2 months over $100,000 and has raised a combined total of $163,000 in just a few months. So something's happening out there. It's a little scary, to be honest, and we need to do everything we can to keep Arizona red.
So you know what happens when that kind of money comes into a campaign from a newcomer, and it's a Democrat? The money comes from Act Blue. And you know what happens? I want to make a little connection here again for the listeners, Anthony. If anybody goes and Googles Black Lives Matter, hit the donate button, and where does the money go? It goes to Act Blue.
Act Blue.
Act Blue is the Democrats' version of Win Red for us on the Republican side. These guys raise hundreds of millions of dollars every year, and they've dumped over $100,000 into this nobody's campaign. She's a red for Ed. What are her other issues? Is she pro-life, I guess, and anti-gun? Probably doesn't think too much of the Department of Public Safety or Customs and Border Patrol. Do you know much about her?
Absolutely, Bruce. I do know that she's pro-abortion, and I do know that she is anti-Second Amendment, and she's been on video protesting at different events. They just had a Black Lives Matter event at Metro Center Mall, which is just inside our district. And the fact is that you are guilty by the associations that you keep. The fact that she has a Democrat, a D behind her name, in my opinion, and is running to turn our state blue should alarm all of us. If Arizona turns blue, you're going to see pro-Second Amendment legislation be turned back. You're going to see pro-abortion, like infanticide measures, legislation be introduced. You're going to see voting and election integrity gone by the wayside. Everything we've worked for in the past four decades is going to come back and be overturned. So we just cannot let that happen because numbers matter. She has a D behind her name, and we've got to do everything we can to defeat her in this next election.
So this Schweibert lady, she belongs to the Black Lives Matter Democrat Socialist Party. And if you go to Baltopedia, she looks like this kind of nice school teacher, but this is the lady who's out protesting, and some of these protests aren't so peaceful. The whole world seems to be coming unhinged with Black Lives Matter and Trump derangement syndrome. They're hoping that the cure for the virus and for Trump derangement syndrome comes on November 3rd. Anthony, we have a little secret message for these guys. It ain't going to happen that way, is it?
No, it's not going to happen that way. Not from District 20, but I need everybody's help. Just to add to what you just said, Bruce, which you said it very well, she's also anti-police. And as a law enforcement officer myself, we cannot have chaos and anarchy in our streets. We will crumble. And they want to change our history. They're anti-police. They're anti-law and order. She does look like your favorite aunt or your crazy aunt, whatever you have out there. But her pictures look great. She looks like a sweet older lady. But she's not. She's a socialist Democrat that wants to, again, turn our state blue and turn things around. And we just can't let that happen. And I need everybody's help. I know that I have your backing, Bruce, and I really appreciate all you've done and all you're doing to keep our state red. I appreciate the radio program. I appreciate the GOP. They've stepped in to give me three young men that are actively on the ground every day campaigning. I've got a ton of volunteers. They just opened up a district office, the GOP district office in my district, to help. Things are moving, but what I need is money and funding, and I need your listeners to reach into their wallets. Any amount, help from $5,000 to $5,000, anything that anybody can contribute, go to www.votekern.com and donate any amount. It all helps, and we can win this together if we team together.
So, Anthony, the Democrats have made this a national election by virtue of getting Act Blue involved and Black Lives Matter. Tell the listeners again, how much can they give to you? It's anywhere between one penny and $5,000, isn't it?
Absolutely. One penny and $5,200. And you mentioned Act Blue, and the way that works is when somebody, wherever they're at, in the nation, in the world, if they donate to Act Blue, it trickles down into all the candidates running on the Democrat ticket. So the Democrats don't really care about the individual. They care about their cause. The Republicans, on the other hand, they want to know the individual. And I get that, and I'm the same way, but I need everybody's help. Act Blue trickles down into these legislative candidates. Win Red, as far as I know, does not at this time. I know the GOP's working on that, but I have to go out and actually campaign and call, which I'm okay to do. I can do that. It's just I need to just ask all your listeners to again, reach into their wallets and help me out to defeat this.
So you need, what, about $60,000 more to be competitive with this Black Lives Matter candidate?
Yeah, I could use about $50,000 more in my coffers to do what we need to do, to get on social media, to send out mailers, to do the phone calls, to do the mailings, all of the above, to do the advertisements. I need about $50,000 in my campaign account to make an impact and to win this outright.
And Anthony, again, what's your website address and how do people make a donation to you?
So my website address is www.votekern.com. They just go onto the donate button and they go ahead and donate from there. And it's again, anywhere from one penny to $5,200. Any amount will do. I appreciate all the help. We've got to all pool together to make this work, not only for Arizona, but for the nation. Arizona's ground zero, and I think it even boils down to my district, District 20, Glendale, Phoenix. I think it's even more of a ground zero, and we just need all to pool together, team together, and make it happen to keep our state red for this next election. After that, Bruce, just an added, we're going to redistrict. And the GOP sitting really well in the redistricting component. So this next election is the most crucial election in our lives. And it boils down to Legislative District 20 and my campaign. www.votekern.com.
That's K-E-R-N, votekern.com. And Anthony, we'll have you back on the show soon. We hope to get you some success. Keep working hard, and let's do it here in 2020.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. And to all your listeners, thank you. Get out and vote. Get out and register voters. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Anthony.
Customers come first at Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus.
My main goal is to make everything easy for the customer, whether every decision I make in terms of business is, will this make sense for the customer? And is this make it easier for the customer to come and look at material, how the yard is organized, what material we cover, what material we offer, anything like that.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard, 701 East 36th Street. Open Monday through Saturday.
I'm Eb Wilkinson with Imus Wilkinson Investment Management. I don't ever want you to be dependent on government ever again. I want you to become financially independent. You will never, ever have to depend on socialist security for your survival. We are here to guide you to financial independence. That's imuswilkinson.com, 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
Welcome back to Inside Track. I'm pleased to introduce our next guest, political consultant, senior contributor to American Greatness, Julie Kelly. We love American Greatness. Julie has written a book, Disloyal Opposition, How the Right Tried and Failed to Take Down the President. Her book has been described by Inside Track guest Victor Davis Hanson as a bombshell. Julie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Bruce.
Sure. When Victor Davis Hanson refers to anything as a bombshell, people should take notice. How did you feel when he praised your book, Disloyal Opposition?
So honored. In fact, he kind of encouraged me to write this book, and so I was so flattered by his endorsement. And, of course, I cover in my book how the Never Trumpers have gone after Victor Davis Hanson, too. So
they certainly have. That's right. And VDH has talked about this several times in interviews that I've heard on Fox and elsewhere. What they've tried to do to him is really quite amazing. But these are people who really show no bounds going after the president the way they do either.
That's right. And that's what my book details. So it's obviously the president that they've gone after, but it's also Republican congressmen who support the president, and just rank-and-file Trump supporters. Evangelicals have been smeared and condemned by Never Trumpers, Tucker Carlson, you name it. Anybody who supports or praises the president, Never Trump goes after in really an ugly way. So the book isn't just about how they've gone after the president. It's really about how they've gone after all of us.
Hmm. Bill Kristol, how does someone who was once so respected sunk so low? What are his motives?
Well, he's an interesting case, and I kind of refer to him as the de facto leader of Never Trump. So he's been opposed to Donald Trump since the beginning, since the president announced he was running for president. And Bill Kristol has been wrong about everything, which is usually how he rolls. But he, of course, didn't think Trump would win the nomination. He didn't think Trump would win the election. Didn't think Trump would survive his first year in office or his first term. You know, they bolster the phony Russian collusion hoax. People like Bill Kristol were, you know, early. The Never Trumpers were actually the earliest perpetuators of the Russian collusion hoax. So I talk about that. But I think for Kristol now, it's just a grudge mostly, but also he's being paid by a left-wing billionaire to form these little Never Trump nonprofits to go after the president. There's nothing conservative or Republican left about Bill Kristol. He's a tool of the left, and this is how he makes money and gets attention.
That's a great point. I don't think enough people understand this activity going on against the president really is for monetary gain. It's not just a political grudge, although it could have started as that with Kristol. But for many of these people, it's the defense of their careers and the positions and the bad policies and so on that they've taken over the years, because probably the greatest Republican disruptor other than Ronald Reagan since the turn of the 20th century is Trump. I mean, other than Theodore Roosevelt, who I think, you know, Trump might have some similarities to in terms of disruption and personality, these guys are being paid, aren't they? This is an economic gain. It's a justification of their careers, isn't it?
That's right. It is. I think Donald Trump posed and poses an ongoing threat to this kind of bipartisan beltway crowd. And when he condemned the Iraq War as a huge mistake, when he confronted Jeb Bush on the debate stage in 2015, calling the Iraq War a mistake, that we were lied to about weapons of mass destruction, he was right. But those were things that were not allowed to be said at the time, because we all were invested in defending that losing, deadly war. And so people like Bill Kristol, the neocons who promoted that war, the architects of it, boosters, cheerleaders of it, took that quite personally. But it turns out that once again, Trump was right about that.
Yeah.
So it's about defending their history, their resume, but also they want power back in the party and in the conservative movement. And as I write in my book, they can never be allowed back into the party in any place of influence or power for how they betrayed all of us.
And you really do write this not just from the standpoint of the president, but from the standpoint of the 60-plus million Americans who voted for him, and even more who'll probably vote for him in 2020. At least that's the way I see it. Do you agree?
I really do. It's just really despicable to have Mitt Romney, who all of us obviously voted for, donated money to his campaign, volunteered on his campaign, voted for him, to have him turn not just on the president, but to smack all of us in the face for supporting him, for siding now with the left, marching with Black Lives Matter, saying nothing in defense of the president or the Republican Party right now. He really has exposed himself for just the hollow man that he is. He's not a man of principle, because that's not how a man of principle conducts himself. So that's why I talk about this disloyal opposition. It's not just disloyalty to Donald Trump, it's disloyalty to all of us.
So why is it most of these useful idiots remain as sources close to the president or unnamed sources in various news articles? I mean, are they collaborating directly with the media? Is this something that's being staged? Can you give some color to that?
Well, I'm not really sure about that, but I will say a lot of these pundits and commentators, they're in the Washington Post and New York Times, and on MSNBC and CNN, they give this false impression that they are conservatives or Republicans against Trump, because that's what the readers and their viewers want to hear. So they give this fake impression, a lot of Republicans and conservatives opposed to Donald Trump, which we know is not the case, but But that's what pleases their audience. And so that's why they are useful idiots. And now they're working. You know, you see these new pop-up groups like the Lincoln Project and Republican Voters Against Trump, these manufactured little nonprofits funded by the left to perpetuate this false impression. And they really think that they're going to pick off voters that way, but I'm doubtful that they will.
Our guest this afternoon is Julie Kelly, who's written a great book called Disloyal Opposition. You write in your book, Disloyal Opposition, Julie, that these insiders are using the Wuhan virus as a means to take down the president. This is pretty low behavior to endanger American lives they claim to be protecting from such a dangerous president, don't you think?
I really do. When we finally had to go to press on the book, we had to wait for impeachment after the impeachment vote. So this was right before the coronavirus crisis hit. But the way that they are exploiting this, so on one hand, they're blaming the president for killing 130,000 Americans, but also blaming him for the economy crashing, which of course was what the experts unfortunately told him to do, and unfortunately he followed that advice. So they're really leveraging this in such a sick, twisted way. The number Trumpers are as well. You know, instead of trying to get behind the president or rally together, they're using this, again, to divide all of us. And then they wonder why we're refusing to wear masks or why we're questioning the advice of the authorities who've been wrong every step of the way. And they want to pin all of this on Trump. I do think they want to keep this going for two reasons: to let Joe Biden stay in the basement and never talk to voters, meet with voters, or certainly debate Donald Trump. And number two, to have this mail-in election in November, which we know the Democrats will rig and try to steal.
So, Julie, the panda huggers inside and outside the administration who act as useful idiots for China and work to subvert our national strategy. Can you talk about those guys? Because it sure seems that some of the greatest opposition to the China successes we've had have been from some Republicans who are scared to confront China.
They really have been. And, you know, I talk about in my book how these never Trumpers, and I can't really speak to anyone inside the administration, but certainly you see it with these Republican senators. When Trump first confronted China, there were all kinds of caterwauling about this trade war, and we were going to lose this trade war, and we shouldn't agitate China. Well, once again, he was right. And now we see what a national security threat China poses to the country. We were fixated on Russia for years when that wasn't even a worthy enemy, and China was getting away with all kinds of stuff. But they really had no other answers how to confront China. They really don't want to. And so, but I think that Trump is winning on that score as well. And I think that especially farmers and American-based manufacturers here appreciate what he's doing.
You've talked about the Russia investigation. It seems to me that Trey Gowdy, who had been so strong in support of the president early on and such a champion for what was going on, to fight what was going on in the Russia investigation and the Obama abuses, all of a sudden he just like turned completely the opposite direction when it came to actually forcing an investigation, forcing answers in public hearings. Is Trey Gowdy part of these never Trumpers?
I don't really talk about Gowdy in my book, but you're absolutely right. He was a huge disappointment. He had some tough questions of Comey and some other perpetrators. But look, at that time, you had maybe a small handful of Republican congressmen who were willing to take this on. Obviously, Devin Nunes, and I talk about in my book how the Never Trumpers gone after him as well. But otherwise, they've all acted shamefully from the beginning. And the Senate Republicans right now should hang their heads in shame for how they've let this Russian collusion continue and not hold any of the perpetrators or accomplices publicly accountable. So we had Chuck Grassley, who headed up the Senate Judiciary Committee for 2 years, basically did nothing except write letters to various people and the DOJ whining about whatever news that they found out, but holding no one publicly accountable. And now we have Lindsey Graham doing the same thing. So he's threatened to get to the bottom of the investigation, who was responsible for it, who hasn't told the truth. Again, this week he was saying he's going to hold Robert Mueller's investigation accountable. He's done nothing. Absolutely nothing. So the Russian collusion hoaxers are going to get away with it. We have nothing out of the John Durham investigation yet. And so this has been not just a miscarriage of justice for Donald Trump and his people associate, but for the country. Because we are now given a green light to the highest law enforcement agency in the world going after private citizens simply because of the political campaign they volunteered for, like a Carter Page. And I hold Republicans responsible for that. Not Democrats, but Republicans are responsible for that.
Good point. So in full disclosure, Julie, I've been a member of the Republican National Committee as the committeeman from here in Arizona for about 14 years. And I will share with you, and you probably are aware of this, that in the 2016 election, unlike most times in the building on First Street in Washington, D.C., where there would be posters and signs and photographs of the campaign and so on, not only was the building almost devoid of any of that and any sort of excitement, but there was a pool that was taken, and most everybody in the building was betting against President Trump. I want to talk with you about platform, because the president is not going to get a platform as such, where, for various reasons, and I will say that they're probably honorable for safety and so on, the platform committee isn't going to meet. But the Trump agenda does need to be formalized. It needs to be institutionalized and codified so that as we go into a second term and as we go forward in 2024, there has to be proof that this revolution really has legs and has grown within the Republican Party. Don't you agree?
Yes, I do. And I'm not familiar with all the inner workings of the platform as well or won't be, or the RNC, but the Trumpification of the Republican Party extends beyond just any policy agenda. As you know, it's just signaling that we have to stand up to the left and the Democrats and these never Trumpers. Because now their agenda is fully exposed, which is, you know, dismantling every foundation of our country, erasing our history, keeping us in a state of ongoing race war, dismantling capitalism, as we've heard from Ilhan Omar. Those are the people who will be running a Biden White House. We know that Joe Biden will be in charge of anything because he can't even finish two sentences together. So it will be the far left of the party running the show, and that is what we are up against. Some of us realize that. I think a lot of other Republicans don't want to, especially those in Washington. And so I think that that is what the real battle in November is about.
Julie, how do our listeners find Disloyal Opposition, your book? How do they buy it? Where is it available?
It's available on Amazon, also Barnes & Noble website. It's in some stores, but those are the best ways to purchase it. Also at my publisher, Encounter Books, and so you could buy it that way.
Well, one last question then. The thing that just surprised me, maybe more than anything else, was you write of one of the Never Trumpers who declares, "We are all Democrats now." Oh my God, I mean, how could that be? Are we that weak?
Well, that was Bill Kristol, and what's funny is he's still described in news articles as a conservative commentator, even though there's nothing conservative, and he just declared his allegiance with the Democratic Party. So that just speaks to what a ruse and what a fraud this whole movement is.
Well, Julie, thanks for joining us today on Inside Track. Best of luck with this book. I hope it's something that lots and lots of people read. This is an important election, a real fight to the finish. And thanks for being with us. You're listening to Inside Track. We'll be right back. Customers come first at Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus.
A lot of the cities and the counties around have initiatives for artists. I think we're one of the premier artist suppliers for steel. First Saturday of every month, you can come down early and actually go through the scrap yard across the street. It's 7 acres of metal. You can walk through with our people and pick out what you want. It's always interesting to see what the artists have done. We've done actually a couple projects with the U of A Engineering Department and Music Department, where the engineering music students came down together. They had to pick something out of the scrap, and they had to build an instrument. And we have one of those in front of the plant. Some really cool things come out of the scrap.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard, 701 East 36th Street, open Monday through Saturday.
Ask not what your country can do for you. ask what you can do for your country.
Wouldn't it be great if political leaders could create that country again? Learn how to do exactly that, one family at a time, with Imus Wilkinson Investment Management. Call me, Eb Wilkinson. IMUSWilkinson.com. 777-1911. 777-1911.
Our next guest today, before we say good day to all of you this afternoon, is old friend Eric Sloan, who is a candidate for the Arizona Corporation Commission. This is Eric's second run for the commission, and he'll be joined on the August 4th primary ballot with current member Leah Marquez Peterson and write-in candidate Jim O'Connor. Eric's from the great state of Maricopa. Let's not hold that against him, but he has been spending loads of time here in southern Arizona. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you have an interesting life story. Tell us how your mom ended up coming to Arizona. It's a great story. Your mom must have been a great lady.
My mom was she was very special. My mother went back to school late in life, and she got a degree in behavioral health therapy to help people with drug and alcohol addictions. She herself had struggled with alcohol and had gotten sober, and then wanted to dedicate her life to helping people who had suffered from that same affliction. And she had gone back to school, and at her graduation party, she had gotten $1,000. She'd gotten a scratcher ticket, and she'd won $1,000 on. And when she won that $1,000, she took a vacation to Arizona, and she bought a house in the middle of a cotton field in Chandler, Arizona. And we packed everything up about a month later and moved west, just like a lot of Arizona. And so that's how we ended up in Arizona.
That's a great story. Wish your mom were here to watch you today. You went to Mesa Community College. You later transferred to that other university up in Phoenix. And what fascinated me is you played rugby in college. Now, that's as tough a sport as they come. How many hits did you take, and are all of your body parts still intact?
Well, I was very lucky. I never broke anything, never had any concussions, never had any major injuries at all. In fact, the nice thing about rugby is you play really hard, and then you come off the field and everybody kind of gets together, and it's a very social sport. It was a club sport when I played, and now it's an Olympic sport. It's really taken off here in the country, and I think you used to tell people you played rugby and they didn't know what that was, and now they kind of know what it is, and so it's nice.
Yeah, well, my wife and I visited New Zealand several years back and became All Blacks fans, and every time we have an opportunity, we love watching the All Blacks on TV. Rugby's a great sport. I'd prefer watching that over the NFL any day.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. 100%. Hey, you've been very committed as a volunteer lay leader, but you've also had a successful business career. Tell us about your business career and also a little about your lay experience as well.
Sure. One of the things that I started out doing is I started out in a kind of a public policy role. I ended up working for the other university up north, right? Doing higher education policy, but then that kind of evolved into economic development policy. My background now is basically in economic development. I've been able to work on some of the largest commercial development projects in the history of the state. One of them was the University Athletic Stadium District, which has benefited all the universities. Another one was the State Farm headquarters that was located in downtown Tempe. But also just helping businesses that want to grow in Arizona or businesses that want to relocate in Arizona find a place where they can build a home for their business here in our state. And that was really the reason why I felt like I had the background in my business experience, in my life experience, to run for the Corporation Commission.
Well, you certainly have been very committed as a lay leader. You've done lots of things. Tell us about the volunteer work that you've done for many years.
Sure. I was the volunteer coordinator for the Martin Luther King celebration here in Maricopa County for a very long time. I've been involved with Luke Air Force Base for a very long time as an honorary commander. And that's a lot like the DM-50 program in Tucson. That program is community leaders who work with people on the base to understand what they do. The base folks work with people in the community to understand what they do. And then you advocate for the base, and it's a great economic engine. You know, this position is really a statewide position. You know, my wife and I, we live both in Scottsdale and we live in Prescott, which is in Yavapai County. And one of the things that we do is we also volunteer up there. I have a heart for food pantries, food banks. And the reason why is because as a kid, we couldn't always make ends meet. And a lot of times we had to use the food banks. And so my wife and I have been very involved in the food banks around the state.
Well, speaking about your great wife, you're running for your wife and for your little girl. So this election is really about them also, isn't it?
It is. And one of the things that is really important to me is that I want folks to know that I am running partly because I want my daughter to have the same opportunities that I had. You know, I talked a little bit about my mother, but one of the reasons why my mother picked Arizona was because she wanted a state where, you know, people, you could save more than you spent in taxes. You could send your kids to safe schools. You had a state that had an upward trajectory when it came to growth and to the future. And, you know, I want that same thing for my daughter, who I named after my mother, because, you know, I love Arizona. I really do. And, you know, my wife and I, my wife actually came here from Canada. And so we both have chosen Arizona. And you know, when you choose something like that, when you choose a state like that, there's a great affinity and affection for it. And I really want it to be the best state in the country. And I think that if we get the policy right, if we get energy policy right, water policy right, sky's the limit for Arizona. It really, it's going to be a very blue sky for us.
So you're running clean elections, and I think I know the reason that you're running clean, because there have been some issues with Corporation Commission candidates accepting large donations and advertising and so on from the public utilities and some large corporations. You're trying to avoid that sort of potential interference, aren't you?
I am, absolutely. You know, one of the things that the commission did was to pass an ethics policy. After going through that ethics policy, I decided that running clean was the best thing to do. Every other candidate in this election is also running clean. I think that there needs to be, especially at the Corporation Commission, there needs to be a clear example that you're not going to take money from PACs, utilities, corporations, and unions. We've had hundreds of millions of dollars that have come in from outside of the state of Arizona to fund campaigns. And that's a big problem. And I think all the candidates, strong line, enough's enough. One of the things that we can do with clean elections is we can accept seed money. Part of that is it's a $170 cap, which is significantly less than the $5,700 cap. I believe that's at the congressional level. But it's $170. And my website is ericsloan.com. ericsloan, and if anybody would like to donate, you can go to that website, or if you'd like to contact me, you can contact me through that website.
So your platform really is protecting Arizonans against higher utility rates that put money in the hands of the corporations and out of the hands of Arizonans. And you're also very interested in making sure that there's a safety net in case of a financial disaster, you know, like the global financial crisis we had several years ago, and also, you know, this current virus crisis. You believe in making sure that those who are most vulnerable are protected, right?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that I've talked about is just a common sense approach to the commission. What we need is some steady leadership at the commission. I would have asked that the commission suspend peak rate hours during this time period while we're all staying at home to protect ourselves from the virus. I think that we need to implement some consumer protections at the commission because there have been utility shutoffs that have resulted in people losing their lives, which is completely unacceptable. And completely avoidable, and it makes me angry to think about that the commission did not take an active role in it until it was too late. You know, just some basic things where we're talking about lowering utility rate, making sure that we're going to focus on a carbon-free energy solutions moving into the future. I mean, these are great things that are going to be good for Arizona, but it's also great things for individual Arizonans to protect our families and our businesses to make sure that, you know, we have a future.
Hey, Eric, one more time, how can people contribute to your campaign?
Again, they can go to ericsloan.com. It's ericsloan, ericsloan.com. You can donate to my campaign there. You can contact me through that website. I love hearing from people, so if you would please go to ericsloan.com. I'd love to hear from you.
Hey, Eric, we're up against the clock. We're going to need to leave it there for right now. Thanks for appearing on Inside Track. Hey, we hope you'll come back and visit with us again, friends. We already have some great guests lined up. We're just over a month away from the primary and less than 100 days until the general election. Keep your eyes open and ears tuned to us on Inside Track for great political talk and more great guests. Until next week, for Inside Track, this is Bruce Ash wishing you a very pleasant good afternoon wherever you may be. And hey, grab your ballot and cast your vote in Arizona's Republican primary right now and put it in your mailbox. See you next week.